But it says I'm on the speaker view. And the title of my message, I wanted to talk about both of those aspects. One is that Christ is manifested to the world, but at the same time, he's manifested to us. And the title is Embracing God's Epiphany. How we respond to divine epiphanies in our lives is a choice of the will. I chose the scripture, and I have it in three different translations, or one's a paraphrase. Titus 2:11 says this in the New NIV, New International Version. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. And I wanted a more literal translation, and I looked at it in the Greek and everything like that, but the best that came closest to it was Young's literal translation, for the saving grace of God was manifested to all people. That word manifested or appeared is the word epiphany or making an epiphany in making a manifestation, the word actually from the Greek. And then in the Message, which is a paraphrase, it says this is a really cool way of saying it. God's readiness to give and forgive is now public. Salvation's available for everyone. But the open manifestation, this openly manifested or public epiphany of saving grace, it can be rejected instead of embraced. I mean, people... Well, I read this, and I read it actually 2 days before the new year. It was in the Atlantic Magazine online. David Olin is his name, and he wrote this just on December the 30th. I don't believe epiphanies exist. We're born, we die, and no one ever changes, really. Even for James Joyce, an epiphany is just a literary device. Just a literary device. In other words, a writing trick. Well, I looked up the Atlantic. It was established in 1857, and there were several prominent, famous writers for it, and I think they would all disagree with Mr. Olin. I'm going to be quoting them to illustrate why epiphanies are so important, why they're real, first of all, and why they're so important for us to embrace. First of all, divine enlightenments, epiphanies are divine enlightenments many times, manifestations. Divine enlightenments are universal. Now, one of the writers that wrote for the Atlantic early on was Ralph Waldo Emerson, and here's what he wrote. The intuition of the moral sentiment is an insight of the perfection of the laws of the soul, not subject to circumstance. Not subject to circumstance. In other words, these are not things that that we learn necessarily, but they're built into us. And that's what the scripture agrees with. Moral enlightenment is built into humans. John 1:9 says, the true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. That's speaking about Christ. But the point is, he was the light coming into the world, but he is the light that enlightens every man. In other words, this verse says that Jesus morally enlightens everyone. Jesus morally enlightens everyone. They have that opportunity. Every person has that. Now, upbringing, education, and experience, they all can dominate the ideas we have of right or wrong until a divine epiphany gives us an opportunity to change our mind. That word change our mind, metanoia, means repentance. If we can change our mind and turn from the ideas that we've been listened to or received or conformed our minds to from our environment, but we have to make a choice. We have to make a choice. Oliver Wendell Holmes said this. He said, now Oliver Wendell Holmes, senior, there's a junior. Senior was a little bit more conservative, or actually much more conservative than his son, Oliver Wendell Holmes Jr. He was a little bit more liberal. But anyway, Oliver Wendell Holmes Sr., who wrote for The Atlantic, he said, "A moment's insight is sometimes worth a life's experience." A moment's insight can overcome a life. I've experienced that many, many times in my life, where an insight comes to me and I said, "Oh," and everything I learned all my life, I believed this, and all of a sudden, "Oh," and I don't believe it anymore because I've changed my mind completely. And that's what an insight can do. But merely receiving the insight is not enough. Divine enlightenment must get through to the heart. Another writer for the Atlantic was Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. After losing his wife in a fire, this was his second wife. He'd also lost his first wife tragically in a sickness. But after losing his wife in a fire that same year, and then learning that his son was really seriously wounded in the Civil War, he wrote, "I heard the bells on Christmas Day." And if you see that song, the poem expresses many doubts about peace on earth. It expresses many doubts until the last verse. There's an epiphany that he receives in the last verse. "Then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill to men." And you know, just like those bells, the gospel story, is ringing out to us, especially in verses like Luke chapter 1, verses 78 through 79, which really applies to what happened in Henry Wadsworth Longfellow's life. It says in the King James Version of those, a public epiphany. It's almost like this is now public. Anybody can pick up a Bible and read this. This is all over the world, wherever there's a Bible. In the New King James Version, it says, "The day spring from on high has visited us." Has visited us. Already visited, already appeared, already manifested. "The day spring from on high has visited us to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." That's what epiphanies are for. Once God enlightens our hearts, now the ball is in our court. We either swing and deal with it, or we just let it go, you know, and say, "Oh, I'm not going to play." That's not what we're supposed to do. How we respond to divine epiphanies is a choice of the will, and that means divine enlightenment must be personally embraced. If you have a divine enlightenment that comes to you, an insight, an epiphany that, wow, that's amazing. It's not something just to say, "Oh, yeah, that's great. Now I'll go do something else." No, it must change our lives. We must embrace it. James Russell Lowell. Now, he was another writer of The Atlantic, and he wrote this: "Once to every man and nation comes the moment to decide in the strife of truth and falsehood, for the good or evil side." And you know, that's a real famous line, but it really hits this point. We must decide. If it's right to do, we must do it. We must decide. And while the lost, people who do not know Jesus, the unsaved, while the lost must actually embrace saving grace, the public, the saving grace that's been made public, they must embrace it for salvation. But as far as believers are concerned, we must embrace it for becoming more like Jesus. That's what epiphanies are for. Now, epiphanies help Christians to grow in grace. And that's what we're all about doing, is about growing in grace. J.C. Ryle wrote, When I speak of growth in grace, I mean an increase in the degree, the size, the strength, the vigor, and the power of the graces that the Spirit plants in our hearts. When I speak of a person growing in grace, I mean simply this, that his sense of sin is becoming deeper, his faith stronger, his hope brighter, his love more extensive, and his spiritual mindedness more marked. Now, you know, J.C. Ryle didn't write for the Atlantic. Bishop J.C. Ryle, he was in England. He didn't write for the Atlantic. But, you know, his words are probably, of all of them today that I just quoted, are the best. Because when God gives us insight into our lives, into our thinking, into our whole philosophy of doing things, or our interests, or our likes or dislikes, or our sense of right and wrong. When God gives us an epiphany, it's for us to grow in grace in all those ways that he described. And Peter concludes the last verse in his second epistle, he concludes with a great exhortation. It's a really great exhortation for us as we meet the epiphanies and the different divine enlightenments that are going to come to us in this year as we have devotional times, as we read the word, or maybe just hear something that somebody says and all of a sudden it clicks and we say, wow, it's like an epiphany, a divine enlightenment, an insight. All during the year, this is going to happen for us. So this verse, it also calls us to do another thing, and that is to praise Jesus all year long. Here it is. 2 Peter 3:18. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. And here's a good little motto for us to practice in doing both of those things throughout the year. Embrace and exalt God's Son in 2021. Okay, that's about all I have, and I'm going to go ahead and see if I can stop this.